Good morning, everybody. And of course, last week, the main focus was on the policy announcements in the United States and the tariff program that President Trump implemented on the 2nd of April, with varying tariffs ranging from 10% if you're lucky, to way over 30% if you're unlucky. And most of those who are in our part of the world, they're in the countries surrounding China, where China had been moving its factories to, and China itself. And so the impact, obviously, of that announcement is when you announce a unilateral change to tariffs and move away from the free trading environment, which the world had been used to, is that it does have consequences if it stays in place. And those consequences are very much weaker growth, but with higher inflation. And so that makes it a little bit hard to respond to the consequences too. So central banks, yeah, you could think that they might be able to bring interest rates down a bit more with the weakening global economic growth outlook, but are stymied to some degree by the risks on the inflation front. So then we come back to, where was the economy at when this was happening? And interestingly, the economy was still holding up to some degree in the United States. It is starting to push back a little. So, for example, we had some key leading indicators, and these purchasing managers' indices for businesses in both the manufacturing and non-manufacturing sectors of the United States. All of these surveys would have been taken at a time when it was pretty clear that we were going to get the sort of announcements that Trump made during the course of this week. And the ISM manufacturing PMI, we had had a couple of months there where it got above 50, so it was in expansionary territory. It pulled back to 49. That's still not a very weak result, so we certainly had an impact there. But we certainly had an impact on prices. So prices, they had jumped to 62.4. What that means is the vast majority of manufacturers in the US are saying they're going to be lifting their prices. Well, that 62.4 turned to 69.4 in the most recent survey. So certainly an inflationary impact coming through from what Trump has done, plus some worries about whether this is going to weaken things off a little bit as far as the manufacturing sector goes. Then we had the March ISM non-manufacturing PMI, and this one came back to, it's still above 50 though, so it came back to 50.8, and that was after being at 53.5, pretty strong going back the month before. But what I would say about those two leading indicators, whilst we're worried that the US is going to drop into recession, the leading indicators are still not pointing that way. There's still some residual strength through there. And it runs all the way through to the labour market, where right at the end of the week, we had initial jobless claims the most recent week, and also the March non-farm payrolls report. And it's interesting that initial jobless claims, they're holding down. It actually went down to 219,000 for the most recent week, from 225,000 going back the week before. So it's still indicative of a reasonably firm labour market. And also just the non-farm payrolls right at the end of the week. We had non-farm payrolls lifted more than expected. They were up by 209,000. Market thought they'd be up about 137,000. And that was up from 116,000 the month before. Yes, the unemployment rate ticked up a little, but not much. Went up to 4.2% from 4.1%. And on the back of all this, on Friday, when the turmoil was occurring through financial markets and had those very large falls running through share markets in the United States, and of course that's going to be reflected to some degree in what happens here today in our trading. But we also had comments coming through from Jerome Powell at the central bank, and he's saying, yeah, we know this is going to hit growth. We know it's going to also hit inflation. So for the time being, we're still sitting on the sidelines. We're waiting for data to see what happens. So still no sign that the central bank will be dropping interest rates particularly aggressively, even though most economists think, you know, that's what's going to happen now, is that central banks will respond to this, these weakening economic conditions. Now, moving to the tactics around what President Trump's done, he's hit everybody hard, and then he's gone off to play golf for 4 days whilst the carnage happens. This is a classic Trump tactic where, you know, we hit them hard, we wait for them to come and negotiate with us. And that looks as if it's the way that he hopes things are going to pan out. But one by one, all these countries he's hit, they're going to go cap in hand to the court of King Donald and are literally going to pay homage and say, look, you know, what can we trade to get that tariff down? That's his tactic. And that's why, you know, he's saying, look, there's pain in the near term, but in the longer term, there will be some gain from this. He's expecting they're going to be able to gain from the negotiations with each individual country. Well, you know, that's a long process. And the problem is the damage from the tariff changes, they can happen pretty soon. And where it happens is obviously we're seeing it through the financial markets, but we're seeing it also in consumer confidence in particular. And at the end of this coming week, we will get consumer sentiment coming out. And I think that's going to be a figure that even overrides the CPI and producer price index coming out of the United States this week, because consumer sentiment was already down a fair way, down to 57.0 in the March survey. The market thinks it'll come down to 54. It could be worse than that. So we could see an even worse outcome than that, which means that consumers are really pulling their horns in. And on top of that, we get inflation expectations in that survey. They're already elevated. One-year inflation expectations in the U.S. were up to 5% in that survey going back a month ago. You know, they've risen 2 percentage points over the last couple of months. And five-year inflation expectations are up at 4.1. And this helps to explain, you know, some of what, you know, isn't happening in terms of the way that markets are reacting at the moment. Normally, you would expect a very powerful rally running through bonds as the stock market does what it did going back to Friday. Yes, there was some movement into bonds, but it was fairly modest. And still, you know, we got a 10-year U.S. Treasury yield, even after the damage that was done on Friday, which is sitting just shy of 4% in yield. And so this is the conundrum this time around, that the normal safe haven, which would normally be bonds, well, that's compromised to some degree because of the inflation risk that's running through this. So, you know, the uncertainty around this, the difficulty of the timing of when people go cap in hand to the US, you know, I think it's very, very slim chance that we won't get a fair bit of damage out of Donald Trump's announcements this time. It really is a very, very damaging move. So it's probably going to be a little while till we get a decent bounce running through risk assets. I think they're going to be flushing around. You might get mini bounces, which then give away again, because there's a lot of uncertainty swirling around this for the time being. It's going to be very, very difficult to see how things can work better. Now, some of the other things that we've got to keep in mind in the US are that the next big move by Donald Trump, once he finishes playing golf, is that they want to lift the debt ceiling a lot in the United States and provide a big tax cut. Now, obviously, an announcement like that can have a positive impact when it comes, but you've got to get that through Congress. Now, admittedly, they've got a majority in the Congress at the moment, but it's interesting that some of the Republicans in the in Congress and the Senate are getting cold feet about what Donald Trump's doing. And so even that is not a certainty. So just watching for how all those things pan out over the course of the next few weeks. But at the moment, I've done the big damaging move, waiting for everybody to come cap in hand to me. And that's the way that the US is playing it for the time being. Some who won't go cap in hand, China's already announced that they're going to impose reciprocal tariffs, so they're not in this game of trying to negotiate. And the comments from the European Union are along similar lines. We're in a different camp. We think we've got something to negotiate with. No idea what. And the UK thinks they're in a similar position, so they may be trying to go to talk to them. And, of course, his old ally, Israel, they're off there as soon as they can to do their negotiating. So, yeah, they're going very, very shortly to visit Donald Trump once he gets off the golf course. Now, moving to China. And the interesting part is that some of these indicators in China are not too bad for the time being. We had their manufacturing PMI, March manufacturing PMI, the non-manufacturing PMI, and the cakes inversions of those. They all showed improvement. And so, for example, the official manufacturing PMI went up to 50.5 from 50.2. The non-manufacturing PMI went to 50.8 from 50.4. The March cakes in manufacturing PMI went up to 51.2 from 50.8, and the cakes in services PMI went up to 51.9 from 51.4. You know, these are all in expansionary territory, which is an interesting place for these indicators because they've literally moved up through the high 40s into the 50s over the last few months. Now, how they will be impacted, of course, by tariff change, that can obviously work against these. So waiting to see how that runs. This week in China, we haven't got a lot. We've got the March CPI coming out and producer price index coming out later this week. It looks as if the CPI would just lift above the zero mark on a year-on-year basis. It was at minus 0.7% year-on-year. Going back last month, it might get to plus 0.1%. And the producer price index, though, is still very much in deflationary territory. So, that's still pointing to weak Chinese growth, if anything. Moving to Australia. And last week, we had the Melbourne Institute inflation gauge came out for the month of March. Interesting one because it showed a big jump. The previous month was minus 0.2% month on month. March was plus 0.7% in 1 month. So there's a hint there that even our inflation rate may not stay down. We'll wait for our own monthly, the ABS one, and also, of course, the quarterly CPI, which is way the most important one. That comes out later this month. But there's just a hint that inflation is not staying down quite as well as it should, just in that number. We had also February retail sales. They lifted modestly. They had a rise of 0.3% the month before. They're up another 0.2%, but at least they're going upwards. So we've still got some spending growth running through the local economy. We also had the RBA rate decision. And, of course, what the RBA decided was they will leave interest rates unchanged. That was no surprise. And they're data watching. So they're waiting to see how things pan out. And obviously, what's happened with US tariffs may have an impact. Problem is, they are pretty constrained about, whether they can elevate. I know a whole load of economists have said, look, it's disastrous. They're going to be doing, three or four more interest rate cuts now. I'll wait and see. It may not quite work that way because the underpinnings for inflation are still there. We also had February building approvals, and they were interesting because we had a revised lift of 6.9% in building approvals the month before. We thought we'd have a fall of at least 1 or 2%. The fall was only 0.3%. So building approvals are actually holding up for the time being, which is another one of those factors which suggests the economy is going okay. But we also had our trade data came out. And we had one of our smallest trade surpluses in recent months, largely because exports fell away by 3.6% and imports were up by 1.6%. So our trade surplus came back from 5.15 billion to 2.96 billion for the most recent month. So a little bit of softness there running through international trade. But, on balance, the Australian economy for the time being is moving along quite well. And directly, we were imposed with a 10% tariff increase here. That will hurt to some degree, It's the indirect, though, that will hurt. You know, it's all of our trading partners. And so, yeah, they're the ones that got hit by very, very big tariff changes. And so it's their demand for our goods, which may be problematic as we go further ahead. But for the time being, the Australian economy is sort of holding up not too badly. This week, we have the March NAB Business Conditions, Business Confidence Survey coming out on Tuesday. Business conditions are at plus four, going back last month. Business confidence, minus one. Yeah, it'd be hard to see how those won't deteriorate in the March report. We also have April Westpac consumer sentiment. We had a lift of 4% going back the previous month. And it has been, on balance, lifting over the last few months. It may have come back, you know, with, you know, just the Reserve Bank doing nothing for the most recent months. So we'll wait and see how those pan out. But sort of fairly minor data releases. And our election campaign here, it's largely been hijacked by everything that's happening in the United States. Anybody who looks a bit Trump-like is now suffering in the polls in Australia. So if anything, you know, it's swinging towards the government for the time being. That's the nature of things at the moment. There's still spending announcements coming through. You know, we've still got very free spending from the public sector side, regardless of who's elected. But the way it's swinging at the moment, you know, the government's looking more likely to form either minority or majority government on the way the polls are swinging. Now, moving to Europe. Last week, we had the preliminary March CPI, it was quite high for the month. It was plus 0.6% after plus 0.5% the month before, but they were high this time last year. So the annual rate of change in inflation came down to 2.2 from 2.3. The core CPI was up 1% month on month, but it was much bigger this time last year. And so the annual change came down to 2.4 from 2.6. But it's hard to see how they're going to stay down in these twos with the sorts of monthly numbers that we're getting at the moment. So, you know, there is some pressure that's coming through there. We had the February unemployment rate came out. That went down one notch, new record low for the 21st century. So down to 6.1% from 6.2. We also had some producer prices came out. They were actually, you know, sort of a bit firmer, up 3% year on year, after being up 1.7% year on year going back the month before. So, you know, just that bit of inflation pressure. And whilst you know, the ECB, it's actually brought interest rates down a fair way, it's just getting a bit constrained. You know, obviously, Europe is one of the areas that's been hit hardest in terms of the tariff announcements. So, yeah, that may influence the ECB to keep lowering interest rates, even though inflation's starting to pick up. This week in Europe, there's not much coming out. We've got Centix investor confidence that will be shot. So it was minus 2.9 going back to last week. Looks as if it'd be minus 8.9. It could be way worse than that when it comes out. And February retail sales, look as if anything, they may have improved a bit, up 0.5% the market thinks there. But broadly speaking, you know, we're now waiting, and this is the uncertainty that's running through things too. Trump, he really is a wrecking ball when it comes to these sorts of things. You know, you throw in what he did last week, and then you disappear for 4 days on the golf course. You know, it's sort of, it's, and you wait for others to come cap in hand to you. Now, this is not an easy world. It's this is a very, very difficult world. And so, you know, this is where, you know, obviously we've got some headwinds which are presenting for economic growth. But, you know, headwinds with inflation building.